We've got Lisa Beeney in, and we've got lots of stuff to talk about this year. What's changed with regards to bills and how much electric and gas cost? Because obviously it's going up and it's gone up again, isn't it?
Yes, it went up on the 1st of January. Or rather, electricity went up and gas went down a bit in price. So overall, people would have seen a small rise, unless you are all electric heating, which quite a few people on the island are, and they would have seen a larger rise. Now, on the 1st of April, we're expecting the energy bills to come down because the government has removed some of the extra stuff that they put onto electricity bills have been moved into general taxation, and the eco-funding scheme they've now scrapped. So that should make about 3p a unit difference on the price of electricity. So we should see that fall. Even if you're on a fixed rate tariff, you should still see that fixed rate tariff also fall.
Right, okay. Interesting that they've got to wait until April when it starts getting warmer. It would have been nice if it was 1st of January, wouldn't it?
It would have been, but from the government's viewpoint, they'd already committed the spending until the end of March.
Right.
So that's why it's the end of March. The downside is that now this eco-funding isn't available for people, so a lot of the things that, or the grants that people would have used to get solar panels and heating upgrades at home, at the moment just aren't available anymore.
I was watching a TV programme very recently and somebody asked this question and nobody answered it, and I thought, I know someone that would answer it very honestly. Some people have been, say over the last few years, we've been led to believe that because of the war in the Ukraine, that's had a massive difference on the prices of electric and gas. But the question was, some people in other countries, they haven't seen that massive change or that massive increase that we have.
Yeah, there's a whole raft of reasons for that. Some of that is the amount of other levies that our government puts on the price of electricity. And they put it on the price of electricity because that is the thing that everybody has, whereas not everybody might have gas. We've then got the way that our electricity price is calculated, in that you pay for all of your electricity at the highest cost of generation, which at the moment is electricity generated by gas turbines. And that's not the same in other countries. So if that were to change as well, we would also see our energy prices fall.
Okay. Thank you for that. And loads of questions you mentioned there. You know, start of the new year, prices are going up and so on, and they're going to come down in April. Is now this period of time a good time to sort of look at how you pay and who you pay? Changing providers, maybe? And if so, how easy is it?
Yes, it is, on the whole, really easy to change provider. The only time it becomes more difficult is if you're in debt to your existing provider, and then they can stop you switching providers until you've paid off that debt. So that will affect some people, but not that many. Things to consider: look at fixed rate tariffs now, because they tend to be below the current unit rate for a variable tariff. And even if you were to switch to a fixed rate tariff now, when the price drop happens in April, you should still see the prices drop on your fixed rate tariff. All of the energy companies, bar about three, have agreed to do that.
So if you're not in any kind of debt, you owe, you know, you've got a backlog of payments and so on, it's easier to change.
Yes.
And
it should just be a case of looking online at one of the comparison sites, and I'd always look at two or three, and compare the unit rate and the daily standing charge. You should be able to look back at an old bill, or maybe even the last year's worth of bills, and add up the total number of units of electricity and gas that you've used. You can then multiply that by the unit rate of whoever, and that will show you whether it's going to be cheaper or more expensive over the whole year, or just compare those unit rates.
Do you know, it's so interesting now. I would imagine it's so much easier as well to keep a log of what you're actually spending, how you spent it over the year. Whereas years ago, you'd have got reams and reams of paper that you probably wouldn't have understood. And now it's all on a simple app that you should be, it should be easy to understand.
It should be, but some are easier than others. I've seen some of the energy providers' apps, and it can be quite hard to find the information that you want. I would always start off by phoning your existing supplier, especially if you're happy with their customer service, and ask them, are you on the cheapest rate? And they will check and tell you if they've got any other deals that would be cheaper for you. And that then is as simple as a phone call to them. There's no paperwork to fill in or anything, and they'll just put you on the cheaper tariff.
Okay. Well, what about if you're like me and hate being on the phone? Can I do it on the, you know, can I send an email? Can I send
a... you can send an email. You can, lots of them are on X, and you can message them on that. Lots of them, you can do it through the app.
Right.
But
excellent.
The other thing to check is to make sure that with whatever tariff you're on, there isn't an early exit fee. So if you're on a fixed rate tariff at the moment, or even a variable tariff, your energy provider might charge you for leaving them.
Is this something that you do so people could phone you and say, I'm going to get some advice from Lisa?
Yes, people can phone us. This is something we quite often cover on our home visits to people. So it's a lot easier then, because they've normally got all of the information available. Lots of people don't want to switch because they like their existing provider. They've had them for years and they don't like change. And then there are other people that will switch every year. So it's, first of all, looking at what's going to be best for you. And then we can certainly help you have a look and see if you can save money. Because if you can, then why not?
Mm.
You may decide, if it's only a pound or two, that the hassle of switching and the having to set up a new app on your phone and deal with a new company isn't worth it. But it could be you could save £200 or £300 a year, in which case... Why
it's
wouldn't
worth
you?
It. It's worth it then,
it
isn't
is.
It?
It is. And looking at how you use electricity.
Yeah.
And there are people that will move into houses that at one time had old night storage heaters fitted. They've maybe changed them. They don't have them anymore. But they may still have that dual rate tariff where they get a cheap rate at night. But the downside of that is that you'll pay more for your energy during the day. So it's not just how much you're paying for each unit of energy. It's looking at when you're using that energy and what you're paying for it at that particular time.
Okay, look, I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. I'm going to give you some time to think about it, and I'm going to move on to something else a little bit easier, all right? But my question is to think about, what's the one useful tip that maybe that it's you've stumbled upon in the last month, where we've got really, really cold weather? Is there any like advice that you can give people? That's my question. If there's anything like, whoa, I didn't know that, I've got to tell people about that. But in the meantime, I'm going to let you think about that and ask you about the event that you've organised, and it's coming up soon.
Yes, next week we have the launch event for our battery project on the island. The details should be on our website. It's a really exciting project that we know will make a real difference to people's energy bills and make the whole island a bit more resilient. But we've got a lot of work to do.
What's lovely about that is everyone can get involved in that and make a difference.
Yes, I mean, we will be looking for people to host batteries at home. So we are hoping that in the first half of this year, we'll get the first few batteries that we can get out on trial. And then towards the end of this year, we'll be having a community share launch where anybody will be able to buy shares in the project. And then next year we'll be rolling out the full install of the rest of the batteries into homes, small businesses and community buildings, so that we can all benefit from the transition to renewable energy.
I mean, it's a massive step, and I know you've announced it a couple of months back where you got the funding for it. I think it's fantastic. Just go into the battery side of things. I'm just thinking, could we at Vectis Radio have one of these batteries? Would we, is the term qualify, or would we be able to?
Yes, I mean, we will need to go and do a survey of each property, because there's a few technical things that we will need to make sure are in place. People will need smart meters, and we would need to look at your existing energy use. We've got the physical, where would it go, how would it connect up, and all of that side of it to look at. But theoretically, yes.
So if we can, others can too.
Yes.
And you don't have to have a roof. That's the important message.
No, that is the important thing, that it's not, it doesn't have to be with solar panels. It can be people who live in flats. It can be people who don't have the space for solar panels. It can be for pretty much anyone. We will be targeting some specific areas, because we're working with the electricity grid to work out the best places to put the batteries, because part of this is to reduce the load at peak times in areas that will run into problems otherwise. Because we all know, and we've seen it not just with the electricity grid but with the water grid, as we all start to do more and want more, the grid doesn't necessarily keep up at the same rate. So if we can use what we're doing to help them and support, really, people being able to keep up with the change, then that has to be a good thing.
Yeah. So, look, mention the event. We didn't mention date, time and where.
It's next Wednesday between 2 and 4 p.m. at the Bear Enclosure, or the Bear Lookout, I think it's called, at the Wild Heart Animal Sanctuary. People will need to register online, because we do have limited places, but we have a link to the Eventbrite registration on our website, which is greeniow.org.uk.
And I know you said the reason why you're having it there, but just remind me, why are you having it there?
Because I thought it would be fun. No, I went there for a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. And part of what we do, we want to keep as much of the money that we spend throughout this project and all projects on the island. So wherever possible, if we can use local companies and support other local CICs or charities, then I think that is a better use of what we do, rather than spending it with large corporates that it won't make a difference to them what we do.
No, good for you. Good for you. I like the sound of that. So I hope that's a massive success. I really do. And, you know, I really hope people get involved, because we've said this numerous times. You know, every time we come in, prices are never, ever going to go down and be cheap again, you know, unless we do something about it, unless we get involved with this. And this, it starts now. It starts right this moment. Get online. And book your place.
We will be running events all around the island over the coming year. There'll be drop-in events, so in church halls and things, so people in the area can just pop in, see what the project is all about and ask any questions and get involved.
And it's ordinary people with ordinary properties that might not necessarily have a roof. Yep. So don't rule yourself out if you're thinking, oh, I can't afford that. No, get
involved.
Certainly
don't rule yourself out, because the idea is that where possible, we'll be providing the batteries free of charge for people, either free of charge or as little as we can possibly make it, so that as many people can get involved as possible.
Brilliant. Now, back to the question.
Yes, but one thing, keep yourself warm. I think if you're struggling to heat your house, heating one room adequately is going to be far better for you. So keeping the doors closed, keeping the radiators in other rooms turned down, using things like heated throws, lots of blankets, and believe it or not, change your socks regularly. Because, well,
I wasn't expecting that.
But it sounds daft. It's one tip I learnt, that we all sweat through our feet all the time.
Yeah.
And that moisture will get cold in your socks, and then you'll get cold feet. And if you get cold feet, you will feel cold.
Yeah.
So a simple thing like changing your socks and putting on a pair of fresh, dry socks can make the whole of you feel warm.
Well, that's great. That's a great tip. And it's kind of over the Christmas period, I bought myself a really good pair of slippers. A pair that when you... The slippers that I don't like are the ones you put them on and you feel like you're still on the floor, directly on the floor. And I got myself a padded pair, and they're furry inside. And I must admit, we've had some really, really cold snaps over the last couple of weeks, and it has been really cold, exceptionally cold the other night, but didn't kind of feel it as much as I normally would. So maybe some good insulated slippers, and like you say, if you've got good slippers, your feet are going to sweat, so maybe you should keep an eye on that as well.
Well, just lunchtime and early evening, just rotate your socks, just put a different pair on. You don't necessarily have to put the other ones in the wash, but just pop them on a radiator to dry out and then put them on again.
I never thought we'd get to socks today, but there you go.
It's the little things in life.
Good advice. Good advice. Thank you so much for coming in, and you're going to come back in a month's time. What are we going to talk about next time?
We will talk a bit more about our home visits. So anyone that's struggling at the moment, give us a call on 01983 668 900 and we can arrange to call round. We have a lot of help that we can provide, and energy vouchers, heated throws, duvets, lots of different stuff like that. So give us a call. Next month we'll talk about, I think, the common things that we see on home visits that are easily remedied.
Okay, brilliant. And that number again is?
01983 668 900.
And be safe in the knowledge that you're getting through to someone that isn't wanting your money. They're wanting to help.
Yep.
They're wanting, first and foremost, they're wanting to help. And it's a local number. It's a local person. They're not out to rob you.
No, all our advice is free. We don't have anything we can sell people. So
there's no excuse not to pick up that phone and make that call. Thank you.